If you are being filled with the knowledge of his will, say an amen.
Amen.
Therefore, declare loud, say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. Say loud, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I'm pleasing him in all respects.
I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, I'm learning to pray. My prayers are effective. Now, so I want you to say this loud like you believe it. Say, I have come. Not in the power of my own righteousness.
Not in the power of my own righteousness.
But by the power of the righteousness of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. How was work today? Doesn't look like it was very good. You're looking so dull. Is it the weather? Ask your neighbor, how was work? Tell the person, don't tell me you didn't go to work. Yeah, there's work to do. There must be something you did today. Ask the person, how was it? It's true. The Lord is good. Whenever I tell you, I'm still looking for work, don't believe the person. When you are waiting, this is Christianity. When you are waiting, you are doing something. You hear what I said? When you are waiting, what did I say? I didn't hear it well enough. That is how we wait as believers. We are busy with today, and that way we are getting ready for the next time, for tomorrow. If anybody is sitting down doing nothing, the person is not waiting. The person is doing nothing. Waiting in Christianity is an active process. You can say a student is waiting for the next phase of his or her life. Why? Because he's reading, studying, trying to acquire his degree, certificate. That you can say that somebody is waiting if the fellow is busy doing the work of today. If you're not, there is a work for each day. Tell your neighbor, there is a work
for each day.
Let me say this again. You will not go into the next day if you don't do the work of today. Your primary assignment in life is to ask, what is the work for today? Not to go around, you know, saying that government has not provided. You know, this madness people get involved in. Government has not. There's no human being called government. You must never live your life in such a manner that it depends on somebody else's kindness for it to move forward. That's something I keep on telling people. Don't arrange your life so that you need somebody else to be kind before you can make progress. You understand? Like if you are driving on the road, if you are hoping that all the other drivers will be normal before you won't have an accident, then you are going to have one tomorrow. You don't bank on somebody else's kindness or action for you to move forward in life. It's a dangerous way to plan. Do you understand? Yes, you're walking somewhere and you're believing God that one day in that place, he will promote me and then I will now become a big man. Just forget it. What did I say?
Forget it.
But that plan, it sounds funny, but I really mean it. Plan in such a manner that if that place collapses tomorrow, your life just goes on as if they never existed. What do I mean by that? Don't hope that your company or the government will last so long that you be promoted one day, you become a DG. They can make El-Rufai president, and you know what that means? The Lord is good. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is that I remember once, you know, I think, where was it? My younger brother applied for a job. Was he NNPC or something? So I told my mother, I said, what in concern did you concern NNPC? He said that, you know, government job. I said, NITA was government. And you know, PACA was also government. And this NNPC is beginning to be was government. Very soon, you hear that it used to be a government. So there was, in that time, they used to have a group managing director. It now becomes history, just like NITEL is history now. What am I trying to explain? Don't hope, don't just hang your life on somebody else behaving properly. Sometimes you go to, maybe, is it, there's one state that's behind me here. They didn't pay teachers for 11 months. Primary school teachers. Is it 11 or 9 months? I tell people, look, don't arrange your life in such a manner that if somebody else misbehaves, your own life comes to an end. I'm not saying people will never do. God uses people. Do you get my point? I'm just saying that don't arrange your life in such a manner that if somebody else closes a door, that's it, your life has ended. No. You say, okay, what should I do? Yeah, while I'm a primary school, you know, teacher in that place, I must be acquiring enough skill in myself so that if a sacking man becomes their state governor and sacks everybody, my life just moves on. I just transfer my skill from one place, do you follow my point, into another. And be very careful as a Christian. Do this consciously. Always see, literally see every disappointment like that as a blessing. Make sure you always see every disappointment like that as a blessing. You're walking somewhere one day, they close the door, say you can't walk here again. Don't see it as human beings. That man is wicked. The man is not wicked. What I mean is, I'm not saying he's kind though. It is, okay, let me put it like this. His wickedness is his problem. His wickedness is just a tool in God's hands to lift you from one place and put you in another place. God just says, you see, this is my Joseph. He's a nice boy. I love him. But the way his father is treating him, he won't go anywhere. So the wickedness of his brothers was interpreted later as the Lord sending him ahead of them into Egypt. You are getting what I'm going to explain there? That is, his brothers were not sending me to Egypt because they understood the next phase of life. He said, oh dear Joseph, we understand that what God wants to do in your life right now requires you, requires us to steal you and sell you as a slave. So we want to walk with God so that we will not hinder. Have you read this joke? I saw a joke recently. Somebody sent a message to his friend. Oh boy, please, I'm very, very broke. Can you help me with something? That one replied, say, ah, who am I to interrupt what God is doing in your life? Now, so you see, his brothers, all right, they were not thinking of what God is doing in his life. They just made up their mind that this boy must be punished. They sold him. And when the Bible was going to report it later in the book of Psalms, he said, he sent a man ahead of them. Are you seeing God's method of sending people now? Yes. The man was there. They beat him. What is it? They said, that's flight ticket. They knocked his head. He said, he's boarding the plane. They tied him. He said, no, they are just strapping him to his seatbelt for takeoff. This is human beings. He's beating people, beating somebody. Yeah, when God interpreted, he said, I was the one sending him ahead of them. And that was exactly what happened. If he had remained with his father, you know what happened? There are many boys who remain with their father. You didn't read their story today. I keep on, you see, all the stories in the Bible, we think it had to turn out like that. That was the purpose and the plan of God. And there was nothing anybody could do to thwart it as it were. Hallelujah. It's a lie. Many plans and purposes of God in the lives of people were thwarted by the individuals. And the reason why you don't know is because it was not written. It was not worthy of being written. That's why I keep on saying, it is he that endures to the end that will be saved. It is he that endures to the end that will be saved. Many people were sent like Joseph when they got to the house of Potiphar. Things were so sweet, Miss Potiphar came to spoil it. So they waited, they say, wait, oh, if I offend this woman, this my sweet life will end. Oh. And after all, she's the one asking. God sees my heart. There was one joke. I went to Akure, to Ondo, to go and preach last week. I saw Yenka was laughing. I entered his room, and he was laughing. I said, what is funny? He said something he's seen on, that somebody conducted an interview and asked, will you sleep with your boss to get a job or to get promotion or something like that? Some people say, ah, God forbid bad thing. Some say, well, why not? Some, you know. Then one girl said, if God says I should, I would. That was why Yenka was laughing. He interviewed an adult. You want to sleep with a man for promotion or for a job? He said, it depends. I will pray about it. And if the Lord says I should, why not? I will be obeying the will of God. Of course, it's very funny. You may be laughing. Did a lot of Christians think like that? Balaam thought like that. They said, come and curse these people for me. He didn't even hear, come and curse the people for me. So let me go and pray. The pastor, if they say, come and raise money for me, don't go. Because if you go and pray, one angel that wants to wound you will tell you to go. What I've said is it that is Joseph will just go there and say, it's not my fault. Let me pray about it. Madam Potiphar, you know, I'm a covenant child, so I need to get permission from God before I do anything. So please give me till tomorrow. Now kneel down. I want to say the will of God. You know, I've been saying that will of God thing. These days, one of the boys say, God spoke to me now. In fact, I'm even worse than before. Before, I would take you serious. Now, I don't take you. I just say, look, man of God, don't deceive me. Just tell me what you want to do. Because God spoke to you, it's hard for me. Say the thing first before you tell me who said it. Because I must hear the thing first. The thing in itself will be analyzed before we now say who said it. Because this one that the Bible says that, you know, Satan can come as an angel of light. It has not ended though. God responds according to what is in your heart and what you are able to hear. That is the truth. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What am I trying to say? The Joseph that goes to pray, to say, Lord, you can see the situation. What do I do? God will say, go ahead. I won't talk. I can see that it's not your fault. Sleep with Mrs. Potiphar. Why not? And tomorrow you're going to say, it is God that said I should. You say, ah, Pastor, did you say God? Yes, you will think. You will hear a voice. Not the voice you won't hear. You will hear a voice. In your spirit, something will rise up and say, arise, my son. Why not? Many of those Josephs, you don't know them today. That's where I started the whole story from. Their own ended in the house of Potiphar. Maybe God was really kind and understood that it was not, you know, please understand what I'm saying, in quote, that it was not his fault. So he didn't kill him rapidly. He died like 15 years after. He enjoyed, he promoted him. He became second in command to Potiphar in the district of Egyptera. You know, I just carved out one state for Egypt there. And that's it. And you never, you say, oh, there was one slave boy here. It really, really did well. It was a good boy. He was moving. He was being promoted. We thank God. Just a mistake that the tree fell on him and he died last week. After 16 years of rapid promotion in the house of Potiphar, you won't know that it was Mrs. Potiphar that killed him. We will never find out that young man was supposed to make it to being prime minister of Egypt. Not personal, not senior, special, personal, administrative, and complete assistant to... Which looks like a big post because he's a slave. Maybe even one day. Potiphar will just say, what happened to him? How did he get here? It's my brother. So I hereby sign your release and send you back home. And he'll go back home and they'll do Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. I was in the house of Potiphar. From there, God granted me freedom. You won't know that freedom is a sign that God said, I'm tired of him. Honestly, there are times I sit alone. And I'm, you know, before I used to thank God and give testimony. But now I sit alone. I'm wondering, say, God, where we are right now? Is it where you really want us to be? Or now disobedience keep us for here? I'm not kidding about it, though. I pray that prayer seriously. There are plans some of my friends and I are making concerning ministry work and all of that. Anytime we talk about some things, the other day I called Pastor Courage back and said, look, oh boy, that thing we said yesterday, I don't think I agree again. He said, why? I said, I realized that part of what I was saying was I was putting myself in the picture, trying to ensure that I don't look bad or not appear. I don't know whether I get my point. I said, no, whatever we have to do, we have to do it. You know, we're trying to, because the issue was I was just trying to fine-tune, just removing my own flesh out of the way, because if you keep your flesh there, God will still do something and you'll still be giving testimony. Many of the testimonies we brag about today were testimonies of things that God did to people he wanted to kill. Do you understand? Manna was falling regularly and we were praising manna. The only reason why manna fell regularly was they had to die. If they had obeyed God, they would not have had much opportunity for manna. They would have entered the promised land fast. and water came out of the rock. All of this is disobedience. If the people had obeyed God, all this story of the wilderness would not have occurred. And then one day, we saw a miracle in the wilderness. It is because you are in the wilderness. If you had obeyed God, you would have been declaring, oh, the first seed time I planted corn. After that, and you know, it doesn't sound so miraculous. Because it is seed time and harvest. The only miracle is that we thank God for 16 years we've been here, there has been no locust. You have to be consciously reminding yourself that what you are enjoying is not natural. It's actually supernatural that has become, that have begun to look natural. Many of the big testimonies, I remember somebody was giving testimony at the time. I wonder if my brothers now called and said, this guy's testimony. He said, person off he talk. But every place that he went, you know he was not supposed to go. I don't know where I get the point. Maybe tell the brother, say, no, from every indication, you're not supposed to go to, let's take Lagos from Enugu, we're in Enugu here, all right? He takes off, he gets to the road, the car has an accident, he comes out, he's not, you know, he's not injured at all, no scratch on him, he says, praise the Lord, the God, the deliverer, no problem. Then he gets to Onitsha, then the bridge collapses somewhere, and then he just passed, no, he couldn't pass, so he had to get a canoe that took only him across. See, I almost didn't get to Asaba that day, but we thank God, somebody brought a boat and carried me across. Say, amen. Then they got there, there were no vehicles. Then we began to pray. Then one lorry came out of nowhere. The lorry was carrying stone, but he said to put us beside the stone, and then we got to Benin. The guy gave testimonies. Oh, my other brother, I said, thank you, come. Those testimonies, they look fantastic, don't they? I said, yes. He said, but what was he doing on the road to Lagos? I don't know that you get the point. That all of these things where a man has disobeyed God and God is warning him. So he's having a lot of struggles and God is delivering him little by little and he's been giving testimonies. So that brother called me and said, which kind will I be this one? Did you hear this fellow's testimony? He just dragged me and said, come. I said, oh boy, now so I see him too. That's like this life, eh? Well, first of all, I will just sit there. I don't even know how to judge things again. The main problem is that God is very good and very patient. Because of that, people are disobeying him. He's helping them small, small. And the only reason why they need some of those miracles is because they are stubborn. You now collect microphone and say, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Honestly. That's why I told you that in recent times when I'm praying, I said, Lord, I thank you for what you have done in this area. But are you sure that's actually all you wanted to do? Or that's the only one I allowed you to do because of my strong-headedness or ignorance or fear? Do you get my point? Yes. As a prayer, I should pray. Say, that which I see not, teach thou me. So that if I have done iniquity, I won't do it anymore. That's why I've said, look, many Josephs have ended. We never read their stories. Because the Bible is a small book, so there was no space. Because what is this one doing there? It's a story of disobedience. Don't worry, remove it. They put another story of a man who obeyed. I can assure you of one thing, for every Joseph you see, all the attempts as Josephine in the Bible, there were plenty. Because many are called, few are chosen. Amongst those that are chosen, few are faithful. Fewer are faithful. So the only one you read is the story of the one that was called, chosen, and he was faithful. He ran away from Mrs. Potiphar. That's why I say, don't ever judge your life by the results you got. Judge your life by the principles of righteousness that you adhere to, whether you failed or you didn't fail. I don't know whether I get my point. The man who succeeded, the woman who succeeded, is not the one that got the result. It's the one that adhered to the principle of righteousness. Because depending on when you are looking at Joseph, assume you are doing a case study of slaves in Egypt, and you did it while Joseph was still in prison. That's why scientific studies are nonsense things. Don't follow them. I don't follow scientific studies, though. I don't. When there's something is bad for you, I go and check the Bible. Did the Bible say it's bad? The Bible says, no, it is good. I said, forget it. I said, don't eat too much sugar. I said, the Bible says the land is flowing with milk and with honey. The reason they said that you shouldn't be drinking milk because it wears... Oh, what have I not heard? You drink too much milk, it causes prostate cancer. If you don't drink enough, it causes colon cancer. I said, which one will be this one? So I read my Bible. I said, God led them into a land flowing with milk. It must be good. I'm telling you. I mean, the Lord led them. He chose, he was lying flowing with milk. In fact, there are some four things I believe that every Christian should eat. Milk, honey, olive oil, bread, yes, you should eat bread, amen. And then you should drink a bit of wine. It's in the Bible like that. Yeah, fish, thank you. Jesus Christ used fish. Thank you. And then lamb products are good for you. Goat products, lamb products. These are the sacrifices God said the priest should eat. They must be good. Anybody tells me any of this is bad, I won't believe you. I don't care any scientific study that you did. I will not agree. I eat honey now, all right? Because I try to get honey when I can. I almost always have honey in the house these days. I use it. But it's not because of health things like this one is better than this sugar. No, I still take sugar. It's just that one day I was studying the scripture. Say, my son, eat honey for it is good. What's your problem? It's written in the Bible. No, that's my honey. The one that we teach as doctors, I forget that one. The Bible says this one directly. Eat honey for it is good. See the way they qualified it. Since that time, you know why I went into that? Scientific studies. They'll be all be tossing you to and fro. For many years, they said, don't eat fat. Fat is bad for you. Don't eat fat. Fat makes you fat. Don't eat fat. Fat does this. Finally, about last year, 2 years ago, they finally said, we are sorry, it's not fat. It is sugar. After all 30 years of denying me my fat. This is how I now won't eat sugar for another 40 years. Now say, sorry, it's not sugar. It is breathing too much. And I'll be selling masks that reduces the amount of oxygen on your face. No, what I've told you, know this is my profession. You know what I'm saying? I would just be laughing when they start talking. I saw them last year on TV analyze and giving details why sugar is the problem. I said, eh? There's no fat. That the fat in milk, which they used to make butter, it's been found, all right, that is it margaric acid, is actually beneficial to the elevation of the good cholesterol in your system that they call HDL. And in fact, I say, since I was a child, you were saying the opposite. You say, meta-analytical studies have shown. I say, holy, this is what is called eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. 40 years to tell me that what the Bible says is good. People still be following them. They say, you're eating egg. Don't you know it contains cholesterol? I'll be looking at the people. You see, Okpelenge like this. They get a thing like this. He said, I don't eat egg. It is bad for current cholesterol. It contains cholesterol. I feel like anybody spell egg. People who at least see egg to eat. In 1 whole week, you give the fellow 1 egg, say, I don't eat egg, contains cholesterol. I know where I went into this digression. I'll go back to my digression to where I started from. There was a time people said they wanted to live fasted life because Kenneth Hagin living fasted life. I started laughing at them. You see, thin brethren say, living fasted life. Meanwhile, the brother Hagin that living fasted life, when he wants to say, he'll hold his stomach like this. You've not seen the videos. It's like he stands there. That bro, not for use belt, now suspender. I'll be looking at them. Yeah, look at them. You don't even know who to copy. When an American serves you food, you know why they live a faster life. First time I saw their plate, I thought it was saucer. I thought it was tray. Plate, you know, it's a plate. Mankind, what's that guy going to do with that? Yeah, serve your food inside. Oh boy, that is a tray. Supposed to put the plate in it. No, that is his plate. The food I eat on a daily basis, an average American considers it a fasted life. Must be copying things recklessly. I keep on telling you, when it comes to diet, when they give you food, you know the first thing you do? You thank God for it. Father, I thank you for this food in the name of Jesus. As you are thanking God from the bottom of your heart, all the excesses are running away. All the deficiencies are coming in. As you are eating it, the angels are serving you the ones you can't see, so as to balance your diet. The only thing I say is moderation in everything. That English expression of too much of everything is bad is scriptural. Too much of everything is bad. I know where I digress into that. Don't worry, I know where I was. You wonder whether I've lost my way. Don't worry, I haven't lost my way. I just want to say that we don't use scientific studies to determine what is good, what is bad. If the scriptures speak about something, all this one that Obama is doing, leading them in the charge to try and tell us that sexual perversion is normal. I don't care the studies you have done. I've read my Bible. God said, these are the things that the people did, and the land became polluted, and as a consequence of pollution in the land, it vomited up the inhabitants. I mean, these days, somebody will just wake up in America. In fact, I was watching Farid Zakaria the other day analyzing the United States. He said that since 9-11, no, it was 9-11, yes. When Al-Qaeda brought down the Twin Towers and 3,000 people died in that experience, he said only 78 people have been killed by terrorists in America as of today. Today is Tuesday. I watched it on Sunday. That 78 people have been killed by terrorists in America since September 11, 2001. This is August, that was August 1st or August 2nd, 2015. He said, but in that interval, 150,000 people have been killed by gun violence, domestic gun violence. That is, domestic not being American. Just somebody, civilians just carrying guns and shooting people, one crazy man just shooting people. That 150,000 people have been killed. The American spends billions fighting terrorism. They will not even talk about gun violence. That only 78 people have been killed in 14 years by terrorists in the United States. But brother shooting brother, friend shooting friend, one man just getting up in a theater and shooting people. 150,000 have been killed in that interval. Why I talked about it, that it will get worse if people like Obama have their ways. Even though he thinks he's trying to control guns, the gun control is not the issue. It is that the land is being polluted by his types. I don't need a scientific study to tell me anything. The Chinese have an idea, they have a philosophy. They asked a Chinese man once, is it Chinese or Japanese, that what do you think, this was almost 100 years after the French Revolution had occurred. They said, what do you think will be the effect of the French Revolution? He said, it's too early to tell. You hear what I said? Historians say, when was the French Revolution? I don't know history enough. Okay, who scored the opening goal in the last match between Manchester United and Borussia Dortmund? People will know now. Anyway, I don't know how long ago it was, but after many decades, they asked an Asian man who understands life, what is the effect of this revolution? He said, it's too early to tell. What I'm trying to say is that many of the things that the world is doing today, the consequences are too early to tell. I don't need to wait. I can read the scriptures. God told Moses, he wrote commandments for the Israelites. Don't do the things that they did in this land. Do not practice homosexuality. He said it clearly. These are the reasons. He gave a number of them. That he said these are the things that the people did. And the land became polluted. And God poured forth his judgment upon the land. And the land vomited up the inhabitants. These are the things that caused earthquakes. These are the things that caused tsunamis. These are the things that caused domestic gun violence in the land. I don't need a scientist to do any study. I've read enough scriptures to know a bad thing is a bad thing. Back to what I was saying. So this was the point from where I digressed all of this talk about science. And if you came to do a study to find out the lives of slaves in Egypt, but you did that study while Joseph was still in prison, you will have thought that his action was wrong. The people will sit down and say, what was the big deal? What's his issue? He's not a man. Why should you understand now? Talking nonsense. Why? Because Joseph is in prison. You can't come and be in prison for what he did not do. For what? At that time, we started judging that he took the wrong step. He should have just agreed for that woman. What is it? But now it's easy to agree that, yes, it was right. Why? Because our covetousness has kicked in And our worldliness has said, listen, that was a path to progress because we are looking at it that he became a prime minister in the land. He said, oh, me too. I don't go grow. I won't spoil my prime minister appointment. Do you follow my point? That would be the issue. But for Joseph, that was not the issue. The issue was, how do I do this thing and sin against God? He did not know that was going to lead him to becoming a prime minister. He just obeyed the righteousness of God each moment. So you want to know whether you did well or you did wrongly? It's not the consequence. It's not the effect. It's what does God say? What does the word of God say about the action that you took at that moment? That is what decides whether you did well or you did badly. That is all. Nothing else. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, what I wanted to share with us briefly today is I just feel like sharing a word of exhortation. It's our school of prayer, but not much praying do I have in mind, just to share a word of exhortation. This is what I wanted to say. I want to explain something, a word stayed in my mind for the last, while I was praying about this meeting. So that's what I want to share with us briefly. What I want to talk about is positive confession, all right, versus prophetic confession, all right, or prophetic declarations. Let me just explain something about that briefly. I think it is important. Let's start by reading from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. I just feel we should explain this thing for brethren to understand again. Let's read the scripture first, then I begin to explain. Verse 5. I'm reading New American Standard as I do most of the time. So make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. In verse 6, he says, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. You now ask the question, what will man do to me? Let me just add verse 7, maybe to help us a bit. He said, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Let me just stop here. Now, what I'm trying to bring out here is to explain the difference between speaking positively and the words that are supposed to come out from the mouth of a believer. One that's very common these days, you tell somebody something, he says to you, I reject it. Do you understand? You're sneezing. Do you have a flu? I reject it. Now, it's good to reject it. I'm not saying it's bad. In fact, you should reject every bad thing. All right? But it has become Christian language. It has become what we call Christianese. All right? You are talking to somebody. We didn't see your Bible study yesterday. What happened? Well, thank God I was strong. All right? Why didn't you use that your strength to come for Bible study? Okay, it's not Christian language. I was strong. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is the fact that we learn this thing. You know, sometimes something starts good, and then people can carry it into the place where it is now bad. I was listening to somebody preach at that time. You remember the story of the brass serpent that Moses made in the wilderness for those who were injured, who were beaten by the serpent. Do you know that the Israelites kept that thing for a long time? I didn't even know until recently. That was later one of their kings got angry and broke it. That why have they turned this thing into an idol? This thing actually was good initially. When God told Moses to make it, it was supposed to be used only for that season in the wilderness. Wisdom should have taught them that after they left that place, that thing should have been destroyed. But they kept it as a source of healing. And that way it became a sin. It became an idol. It became iniquity to them. Do you understand? By looking at it after that season, you were now worshiping a graven image. Meanwhile, when God gave it, that's why my own interpretation of the third commandment is that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. People say, don't say the name, you know, flippantly. Use it as a swear word. I don't think that's what he was talking about. He was telling them that God does things different methods. Never take his name and place it upon the method that he used. For example, that serpent was a method of God. It became a vain thing. So don't ever put the name of the Lord thy God on what is vain. When God uses a method, all right, to bless us, when we now start sticking to that method, okay, it becomes a vain thing. That we are putting the name of the Lord upon. What am I going to say? So sometimes something starts good. People now carry it to an extent. It is right to speak positively. When we began to learn the word of faith those days, one of the things that people emphasized was to speak, in quote, positively. But the positive thing is what I want to talk about. The Bible wasn't talking about, in fact, the instruction of God was not to speak positively, but to speak according to his word, to speak according to his testimony. That's Christianity. Positive talking is not Christianity. That's why everybody applied it. There was a book that somebody gave me some time ago. The book is called, I don't like mentioning some of these names. Okay, I think I should mention it so that, you know, you don't want to popularize what you know people to read, you understand? The book is titled, it's called The Secret. The Secret. I read the book. Now, this is one of the things I used to judge whether a book is good or bad. If it's supposed to be a spiritual book, I started looking for the name of Jesus and what they said about him. If the name is missing, it's a bad book. It's a serpent book. You know what I mean by serpent? Serpent in the wilderness has been carried into the promised land. That's what the book is. I read through that book. The person was trying to explain how you think so strongly and form images in your mind and how that thing will happen. After going through the book, read it from the beginning, I don't know whether I got to the end, but I said, this book is not good. As a Christian, don't read it. Don't believe what is inside. We get confused because if you read it from the beginning, in fact, many pastors will pick it up and think they are teaching the Bible. You begin to conceive in your mind the meaning of the word meditate. As you begin to meditate and to, you know, to... Many of the times what we do, do you follow? We start practicing occultism, we don't realize it. Yeah, many of the things we do is pure occultism. And I keep on saying the fact that it gets results doesn't mean it is right. Because many of those things, they are not... which one do I use? They are just the principles of the spiritual realm, which Satan uses, normal people use it. You know, there's actually... is something out of the order of God. Yes, it came out from there. But it will have lost its life once it is detached from the source of life in himself. Once it's not connected to God. That's when I pick a book like that. I keep reading through it. What did you say about the sacrifice of Jesus? You must understand, this is a fact about life, not what we believe. It's a fact about life that everything about God, the fullness of God dwells in him. So if you don't magnify him, you are not tapping into the fullness of God. So now when I read through that book, I didn't see Christ being magnified anywhere. I said, this is not a Christ. I don't care how good the things inside appear. If you write a very good on relationship, marriage, and all of that, it's good for the world, though. They can pick it. But I'm careful how I handle it if I don't find Christ magnified in it. And you'll see my reason in a moment. All right? And the reason is because all these principles, they work. But just like spiritual thing, anything in life, they have to be powered. You know my power? You see, maybe go down and say, well, many of us came with cars, and there are cars passing on the road outside here. Those cars in themselves, they are very beautiful. A brand new one may cost in today's naira, for some of them, as much as 8, 10 million naira, all right? But the thing that powers it is only 2,000. The car is 10 million. But without 2,000 naira fuel, you are getting what I'm saying? You bought the car, 10 million is your problem. Let's assume you saved, borrowed, did everything. You bought it 10 million, now there's no money again. You know you don't have a car. Am I lying? You don't have a car. You just joined the league of everybody else that's trekking on the road. The fact is that the thing that powers it, you don't have. The man with a keke napep and 500 naira will get to his destiny faster than you that have a 10 million naira car, but that cannot buy fuel. But you got that keke nap, 500 bucks, 1 gallon, on the chart, straight. it will reach there. It may be slow, but it's getting there. 1 gallon. The man is going to reach there. You have your 10 million naira car. You can't buy fuel. You are not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Some of those principles we are using in life. They are being powered. And the power that we are using, what I want to describe, is the power in the human soul. Is that spiritual substance that God gave you for one purpose. I'll describe the purpose in a moment. But when you use it, used to conceive, conjure, describe, imagine, and then finally, boom, the thing comes to be. So after you finish all the conjecture, all the conjuring, and you say, it works. What you don't realize is that you have driven that car with the fuel of your life. You just cut off 1 year from your long life. That is not a joke. I mean that literally. All the power you used, just stay there, don't move. Can you see it? Yes. You describe it very well. It is the power you will have used to receive divine idea to move your business to the next level that you're using to look for a wife now. And that one cannot bring godliness into the heart of the woman. What will have driven your career to another level? You have used it to bring forth a car, which they probably will steal after 18 months, or it will catch fire after 6 weeks. If you're a Christian, may it catch fire. You know the reason? You've quite quickly realized that all flesh is what? Grass. The earlier you get that thing in your life, the better, the most, that is, how do I say it? The higher your chances of succeeding ultimately. That is the problem for us believers. When we start taking principles of life, that once they tell you, even Muslims use it, just throw it away. Because what they are telling you in effect is that it does not require the power of Christ to execute. That's my objection to all of those things. Once you show me something that does not require the power of Christ to execute, I don't want it because it has to be powered. That's what I'm going to emphasize. And the energy comes from somewhere. The energy comes from somewhere. That is why if you're a minister, if you're a pastor, you want to organize ministry, church, don't use worldly system. Ministry is very thoughtful. You'll just be walking on the road one day, you'll just die there. You're just walking on the road. Nobody hit you, nobody abused you, nobody told you waka shege, nothing. You're just going on the road. You just exhaustion. Your soul energy will just finish. Yes, you'll have built something that human beings think is great. No, what I'm saying is very crucial. Everything in life is powered. You have to choose what is powering your own principles, your own methods. You have to choose what power you are using. As a believer, that's the power of grace. Make sure that it is by the power of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His power working towards me. That's the grace. That grace is God's power that's working towards me. That makes me appear like I'm laboring more than them. But it's not I. It's the grace of God working with me. I hope you are following what I'm saying. What did God give us that? Let me just quickly say, the power we have in ourselves. What did God give us that thing for? That energy is supposed to be used to reach out for Him. Are you getting my point? That energy, we use it to reach out for God. We focus our energy on reaching out for Him, in getting to know Him. He gave that one to us. Now, once you use that one like that, then He begins to supply the energy for every other thing we need to do in life. That is the way it works. So when you hear positive confession, let's get back to it. You have to be careful. Everybody says speak positively. What are you speaking positively? For us believers, we don't speak positively. We speak according to the word of God. It is called the spirit of faith. Take my little tract, This Is Faith. I describe the spirit of faith inside there. It is called the spirit of faith. That is, what I say is not what I think is positive. It is not what I actually want to get. You must get that point. It is what has been described by the word of God. So that when I speak it, I am activating the life, the grace, the power of God in my life, not because I want that. That's why I keep on saying, don't bother with this detailed description. We Christians have preached it, like we preachers have preached it for a very long time. That if I've heard people say, you have to know how to write your confession. We're going to some detailed confession writing, which I think is unnecessary. You confess in the morning that tomorrow I will have... Maybe in the morning that today, I will have 17 customers, not less, and they will bring to me each one a business of like 1 million naira. And by the end of the day, that's not Christianity. That's power of positive confession. That description, you don't find it anywhere in the Word of God. That one, I know when I say it, it's almost, for many of us Christians, it's so off what is very common in faith teaching. But I've studied it for a very long time. One of the things you will know is, go and check the scriptures. People don't have all those fine details and not things people write ahead of time. They plot it, no. You say, what should I say about my business? In fact, like I said, don't manufacture words. Just look for a scripture and repeat it. Like, he surrounds the righteous with favor as with a shield. That's a scripture. It's not favor you're looking for. This Bible says it. He surrounds the righteous with favor as with a shield. Now listen to me. If you're in a business environment and your business has favor, favor surrounds you as with a shield. Every customer that's yours will come. And the one that's not your own will also come, because the man that does not know what to do with his own customer, you know what Jesus said? Take it and give it to the man who knows what to do with it. It's not in your Bible like that. Why are you looking like I'm creating things? The one that had one that did not use it, he said, take it and give to the man that has 10. He said, Master, but he has 10 already. He said, to him that has, more will be given. So even the customer that's not your own, that was not yours originally, they will bring to you. Why? Because you are surrounded with favor as with a shield. Whether you need 17 or 21 customers is unnecessary detail for a believer. The truth is that you actually don't know what you need. You know, people think you know, you don't know what you need. You don't know what you need. The truth is you don't know what you need. All these stories you hear, opposites attract, opposites repel. I don't believe any of those things. God knows what I need. That's all I know. Do I do positive confession? No. I do prophetic declaration. What is prophetic declaration? That's what we read from here. Hebrews chapter 13. Go back to your scriptures there. You see what he said. Because he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Notice this. Two of them were scriptural quotes. The second one is derived from the first. Because of that derivation, I believe that you can derive simple statements. But these fine details that, no, as I go today, they will call me. They will call me to come here in the name of Jesus. Those details are not good. Limit yourself. I keep on saying it. To declaration of the word of God. One of the things that thing does for you is that it does not allow your faith to wear out. Let me use another expression. It doesn't allow you to be discouraged. Because when you sit down and declare that tomorrow I'll make 10,000 and you don't make it, it reduces your confidence in the words that you declare. And God doesn't back those words because he never promised it. What he said to you simply is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that word, I shall not want, means I will not lack anything that is important. The reason being that's an English expression, I shall not want. Being wanting means to be deficient. It doesn't mean everything I just want, I get. No. I shall not want means I will not be deficient. I will not lack what is crucial for my life. I'm going about my business in the morning. What's my business with describing that Dangote will visit today, Otedola will come next week? It's unnecessary. Because men bigger than that, they have not been born. Are you getting my point? You that's talking, you're bigger than that, you just don't realize it. Things that God wants to do in your life, you are not aware. And I keep on saying to Christians, don't think he tells you ahead of time. He doesn't tell you ahead of time. He doesn't give you fine details. He tells Abraham, come, follow me, I will show you something. So Abraham was just moving and moving and moving until he got to where he was going. It was when he got there, he understood where he was going. Don't think the Lord will always give you fine. If you have too many details about what your life will be like, listen to me. I'm telling you the word of God. I am very sure what I'm saying. You are confused. If you have your life well planned out, you have made a terrible mistake. If you know the age at which you acquired this, you are wrong. You are living wrongly. All these plans of strategizing so that your life, by the time you get here, you'll have had enough business, is not Christianity. That is worldliness. It's not the kingdom. By the time you can do, you know, investment, you invest 10,000 naira a month. After that, you buy treasury bills. Treasury bills will return and become fixed asset will come and become landed property. Property will now expand and suddenly begin to grow. Then you can now retire early. You retire early, you die early. I'm telling you the life of a Christian. That's not in Bible, this worldliness. Swallow is finished. You've already said, well, if you're able to invest 10,000 naira a week for 30 years, after that, you'll be a millionaire. If you believe that honestly, I think you really need to be born again. I don't know what else to say. There is nothing on this earth that is sure. You know what Jesus said? Moths destroy, thieves break in and steal. Is the word of God. No human system can stop that thing. Jesus has said, anything you lay upon the earth, moth will destroy it, and thieves will break in and steal. People don't know the meaning of the word moth. Yeah, something that eats it, like termites, something like that, good. Inflation. One day you'll be sitting at home. You know, I don't know how many of you know what happened to the dollar over the last few weeks. No, I only know what's happening. I read news. I know what's going on around. So some of you, this is where you come to hear news anyway. When they give you television, you tune to Spasport. You know, Naira was virtually free falling over the last few weeks. Just going down, 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 down. It got to 240-something Naira to the dollar. Then, you know, when the Bible talks about a king, CBN is king in the area of Naira in Nigeria. They just issued one small rule, which you and I are not aware of. They just issued the rules to the banks that don't bring your dollar here again. Because the banks will collect the dollar, give the CBN, CBN will put in their foreign accounts. So when the banks heard that one from CBN, so they wrote you email, you got the email, and said, please, we cannot accept dollar deposits. In a few days, Naira returned from 240 to 210. 206. It kept on crawling back. I don't know whether CBN knew it or not, but what, you know what happened? Because Naira was going falling like that, people started buying dollars to hold so that they will have some value. So now everybody was into it, so Naira just kept on going. So the banks just said, no, don't bring it here again. People said, I can't keep dollar at home. People will collect it. And once they did that, Naira swung in the other direction. The money they bought for 230 is now going for 206. That's what they call moth has destroyed it. Thieves do break in and steal. You keep your money in the bank one day, one MD will just wake up one day. One spirit will just possess him. After possessing him, he will just sign one deal. And then one CBN governor will say, that bank is distressed. And that's your money that's distressed. The bank is not a human being, it's your money. I remember those days when I had to work for 5,000 naira in a whole month. He said, one man ran to his pastor. Pastor, please pray. Pastor said, what's the problem? You thought somebody died. He said, no, my money, 2 million. What happened? The bank, those days when banks were collapsing one after the other, the bank just went down. And 2 million naira went with it. And that money is not insured. I hope you know that. Those days, I don't know about now, those days, NDIC insured money only to the tune, those days, of 50,000 naira. So if a bank collapses on your money, NDIC will guarantee to give you back 50K. On 2 million, that guy was going to get back 50,000. He will get the balance back later when the bank has been sold and they are now sharing the money, which you know some banks that they were sold for 100 naira. 1 naira. Which means that they will take that 1 naira and share amongst those that have been owed 50 billion. Now bacteria go spend the portion. And listen, let nobody lie to you that there's a human method of preventing it. There's no human method. You know why there's no human method? Because the mouth of the Lord Jesus said it. That anything that is laid up on the earth, moths will destroy and thieves will break in and steal. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Let nobody come and tell you can plan your life. You can't plan your life. One of my many years ago told me that he's moving to Europe because there he can plan his life. I looked at him. Are you okay? You can plan your life? He said, there, you know your children, you can plan. The man told me one day that he had to return to Catholicism. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Catholicism, but you left it when you were here. He didn't go to the Catholic Church. It's not as if I go in there. He said, I had to swear to be one so that his children can go to a decent school. Because the public schools were, that he said he wouldn't put his children. I said, oh, I thought you said you could plan your life for your children. There are so many good schools, but there, he said to get a decent school where children could be taught morals, could be taught the right things in life, it was only the Catholic schools that were remaining. I said, oh, you can plan for your children. So he had to smuggle his children into a Catholic school. So the Catholics, of course, naturally reserved the schools for their own people first. So now I remember, I said, oh boy, I get baptismal card. You know, many of us were baptized as Catholics. It was when we grew up, we decided to go to other places. No wonder I was just hearing it. Of course, he has forgotten what he told me that you planned the life of it. I said, this is not a plan. This is not the plan. Eh? You can't plan anything. Let nobody lie to you. You can't plan anything. Every day in life, do the best. Are you getting my point? Obey righteousness and leave tomorrow to God. It says, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. I pray Christians walk in the kingdom and start walking like people of the world. You're saving money for retirement. Don't worry, you will retire very early. Trust me, you will retire early. There are different forms of retirement. And when you fully retire, you die early. That is not a joke. Any Christian applying for retirement should just buy a casket because you will die early. On this earth, your presence must be putting something into the environment. Paul Dutola, I like that man for one thing. Many of you know Dutola, you know, big company, those days. When he was 90, a reporter was interviewing him and was describing the new expansion the business wanted to go into. I think he died the following year, 2 years later. I said, this man was 90. It was his 90th birthday or something. Let me sit on my message, please. My message for today. Listen to the point I'm making. You can't plan your life. There's no way on this earth. Governments will just change their mind. That's how I'll give you the story about dollar in Nigeria. Naira, people thought it keep on going. It swung in one other direction. Phew! Now everybody's confused. It swung so badly that those who were selling forex, they refused to sell. They couldn't understand, no, something must be going on. That let's wait to go back the other way again. And the thing is that the more you wait like that, after a while, some people panic some more. They start selling some more. Next thing you know that they'll be selling one bushel of wheat for 1 shilling at the door of Samaria. What am I saying? You can't plan anything. So this detailed confession in your life is not going to get your life anywhere. All this declaring that I have told God, I begin to declare, this month is my month, I will meet the man. Next month is my month, is the month we'll get engaged. The following month is the month we'll see my father. The following month is... Tell your neighbor, forget it. Forget it. That's not Christian confession. That's positive thinking. That's not Christian confession at all. That's positive thinking. Positive confession. Christian confession is prophetic. And what is prophecy? He said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus, he said, is what? The spirit of prophecy. Jesus is the word of God. There is nothing in your life that the scripture hasn't covered. And let me tell you something. The Bible says something. Kai, we need to get this clear. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 30, it said the word of God is alive and what? Active. Let me explain the meaning of the word alive again. To say alive, a gun is active. You cock it, you fire it, it's active, but it's not alive. A bomb is active, but it's not alive. As an instrument of war, all those things are active, but they are not alive. When the Bible says that the word of God is alive, he was describing the fact that it's a living being. Let me use a dog as an example. If you put a dog here, you train the dog, it can smell, it can know, it knows what is enemy, what is friend. It can bite. Do you understand? But let's assume you change the dog, put it in a cage. The dog is alive, but it's not active. When an enemy comes, the dog can wake up. He can growl. When he growl, back, back, finish. Afterwards, he sit down. The enemy passes, robs the house, and goes away. But if you unchain that dog, then you're now having a combination of it being alive and then being active. Are you getting my point? The mistake we make, we Christians, is that we often think the word of God is active, but it's not alive. So we think we are the one that must always cock the gun, aim it, and then shoot it. Then the word of God will work. But the word of God cannot think. If I say, he surrounds me with favor as a shield, he does not know how many customers I need. That's how we behave. We think, if I just declare the word of God simply, do you understand? Over my life. Like the one I like to say, no good thing will live without from there that walk uprightly. He said, I need to know the good thing so I can aim it so it can bring that good thing. We think the word of God cannot think. So we want to give the word of God all the fine details. Then he will not be active and work on our details. Meanwhile, what the Bible says is that the word of God is alive. That alive means that it can make decisions. If we release the word in an area, it can think. It can tell you, you cannot handle 20 customers now, they will wear you out. I am going to give you 10. I won't even bring the 10 in one day. Of the 10 that will come, only 5 will bring business for now. The other 5 will be contacts. Don't worry. We'll need them. We'll see them later. The word of God begins to plot. All you keep on saying is that he surrounds me with favor as a shield. Then you want to employ somebody one day. Say, you're welcome. You work for us. This is what I'm going to do. Then the word of God says, this girl can't work here. This boy can't walk here. And the word of God will make something come out of his mouth that will annoy you. Say, how can you? Maybe one old man will be passing. Just let me see road job. Say, this boy, you are so rude. Get out of here. The word of God has driven away bad stuff. You have not said anything about stuff, you know. You have just said, he surrounds me with favor as the shield. That word is plotting. That word is telling, is arranging things. He's telling this customer, come here, don't come here. He's saying this staff, come here, don't come here. And all you keep on doing when you get to work is, he surrounds me with favor as the shield. Or you come to that business, say, he makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. You don't talk about whether your money should come in Naira. All this confession is in the name of Jesus. I begin to receive Naira. This business is not a dollar business. It's not a dollar business. We now go to church and sold dollar. He says it's not about the money, it's the currency. Listen, the word of God can convert Naira to dollar. I hope you get my point. He knows conversion rate. In fact, he knows how much they will sell the money next week. You know, when this dollar began to slide, I had to, you know, my wife buys things, impulsing and all of that. I had to say, okay, relax. What is your issue? Just chill, chill. I said, me, I've not had more peace about all of these things than now. You know why? The word of God knows. The scripture I've been quoting for a long time. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It has sense. That scripture can think. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. For we believers, forget them. You don't need any special skill in writing confessions. What you need is special revelation in knowing which word applies to your situation. Once you have found that word, begin to declare that word. That's prophetic. It is not what you know. This positive confession thing is we are doing it wrongly. We are giving too many details. I confess that I have a plane ticket to go to Lagos. I confess, plane ticket is coming to me. Sometimes God says, No. You don't need plane ticket to get to Lagos because if I give you a plane ticket, you'll be in Lagos in 1 hour. I need you to cool your brain for 8 hours. Auto star right now. I'm serious. You know one of the things I enjoy these days? Anytime I drive, all right? Maybe I'm going to give a lecture at Newey. It's 2 hours to go, 2 hours to come. I have found out that an average trip like that, I listen to at least 3 full hours of messages. Down at home, I'm very busy. You keep on going up and down. I said, do you know, I can't remember ever in the last many years sitting at home able to do 3 hours of messages at a go. If by the time you finish the first one, you are asleep. But I found out the only time I'm driving, the day I went to Akure, for one of our brothers, senior brothers died, I did 9 hours of messages in one leg of the trip on my way back because I first went home to go and see my mom. 8 or 9 hours on one leg of the trip. So sometimes God says to you, say, look, see, listen, why are you hurrying to Lagos? I'll give you a very comfortable car at AutoStar, or if it's not, one of the comfortable Siennas. You sit in one nice corner, listen, or you have a notebook. You listen to a message for 2 hours, bring out a notebook, I give you ideas for another 2 hours, then you sleep for 2 hours, because once you get to that Lagos, your life has ended for that period, you know. You know now. So sometimes we have a desire, we think the word cannot think, that it must grant it, otherwise the word did not work. You know, that's how we behave sometimes. If it doesn't grant it the way we want it, we say it's not working. No, the word thinks. The word thinks and says, no, I have been sent to bless you. I know what is good for you. I know what is bad for you. Don't worry. The time of flight, that you get to a point, you will fly, you'll be tired of flying. Yes, that's what the word is telling you. If at a point in time you get angry with airports, you will have to buy your own plane and hire 2 intelligent, alive young men to be your pilots. And the Lord will tell you, get ready, they will criticize you. They will say, what is a Christian flying a private jet for? Remember what Pastor Baki told you? It's because you are going to private places and you have private money. Are you getting my point? What's my emphasis there? The world can plot these things. The world can reason. The reason why we are disappointed often in life is because we are operating positive confession instead of prophetic confession. What's prophetic confession? Prophetic does not mean I know what will happen tomorrow. No. It means my words contain the testimony of Jesus. What's the testimony of Jesus? Is the totality, the embodiment of all the promises of God. If he says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He didn't say when. I don't know what I heard what I said. He didn't say when. I take that word and declare it regularly upon my life, upon my ministry, upon my business, upon my family, upon everything that concerns me. Then the word knows when to bring it, how to bring it, in what currency to bring it. Whichever method, he knows. But I will not waver from what I am saying. If the word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right now, everything that I don't have, I don't need. That's what it means. The word is arranging my life. Udejuku, where's Udejuku? Okay. He said once he was with our motor engineer down the road here. So he went out to get something, and he saw one sharp ride. Passed and said, my God, see moto. Then when he got back to the office, the car was already ready for dismantling. So when he saw the level of dismantling, that thing he just saw on the road, had to experience. He said, he prayed, said, God, don't give it to me until I'm ready. Because this headache, this is about to start, I don't think I want it. If you can think like that, Jesus said that if you, being human, let me modify the words, can think like that, don't you think God can double think like that? I hope you got my point. We are not into positive confession. That's not Christianity. We are into prophetic declarations. Prophetic declaration simply means I have the testimony of Jesus in everything that I'm saying. It doesn't mean I know how to conjure up a good wife. It doesn't mean it. It means I recognize that God looked at Adam and said, it's not good that this man is alone. And no good thing will he withhold from those that walk what? Uprightly. So God came and gave Eve to him. So he said, Lord, thank you very much because no good thing, that's the word of God, will you withhold from me if I'm walking uprightly. So what's my emphasis? Every morning, what is an upright walk? You understand my point?
There's an upright walk in everything. Let me stop here. I think I've made my point for today. I think I've made my point. I hope we are blessed by it. Let's bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks, because the word is alive. Hebrews chapter 4 says the word is alive. Thank him because the word is alive. Thank him because it's alive. That's the emphasis for today. The fact that that word is alive. Thank him because that word is alive. That's what you just need to thank God for today. It's living. It is active. It is living. It is active. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say it loud,
in the name of Jesus.
I receive everything I need
from my Heavenly Father
because he loves me. You know what song I was listening to? David Paulson said, you actually libel. You know what they call libel? You libel God when you worry. You are making false statements about his character. So you are saying that he has more love and care for his garden and for his pets than for his children. Because Jesus said that the lilies of the field, they don't do anything. Your Heavenly Father dresses them up. What about the birds of the air? He said those are his pets. And that is the garden. He said, if you worry, you are saying to God, you have more, you love those things more than you love me. He said, it's libel. It's speaking evil of somebody's character. Let's declare it again. Say,
in the name of Jesus.
My Father loves me more than he loves the birds of the air.
More than he loves the flowers of the
field. As he takes care of them. More than that. He's taking care of me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
I am not afraid.
Because he's with me at all times. Say,
his word is alive.
And is active on my behalf. Say, there's
no good thing
will he withhold from me.
He will not withhold
any good thing from me.
Say, this is the word of God.
I am surrounded with favor.
As with a shield.
I am surrounded with favor.
As with a shield.
The favor of God protects me.
It brings good towards me.
Repels evil from my life.
Every good thing
comes to me.
Every evil thing
is repelled away from me.
Say, the word is alive.
It can decide what is good.
The word is alive.
It knows what is evil for me.
And it selects my good for me.
Therefore, I don't worry.
Say, I don't worry.
I have no fear.
Say, he prepares a table before me
in the presence of my enemies.
He has anointed my head with oil.
He has given me ability.
He has made me capable
to fulfill my assignment in life.
He has given me the ability
to do my ministry in life.
Say, the lines are falling for me in pleasant places.
You know, we discussed that Psalm 16. David made that thing clear. That is what happens to us by accident. As long as we are loving the Lord, is a good thing. Do you understand my point?
Yes, it's a good thing.
It's not what we plot for. David said, the lines fall for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage.
You will get a job you did not apply for.
Amen. Yes. Somebody here, you need to hear that. You have written applications, you are tired. Listen to me. The one you will finally do, you will not apply for it.
I'm not saying stop applying, though. Just keep yourself busy, occupy until it comes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Throw your application around. But hear the word of the Lord. The one that will be yours, that will bless you, will be one you did not apply for. Say amen for somebody.
Amen.
Why? Because the lines will fall for you in pleasant places. That is when they are casting lots, you are not even there. The one that is your own will drop into your own place. And it will be a blessing to you.
Amen.
Some people are good with planning. Hey, you say, yeah, I wish I could plan like that. Don't worry. R.G. Letourneau said, thank God I did not know accounting. Because if I did,
I would not have done what I did in life. Now, that's not to tell us, no, don't do accounting. No, I'm just trying to bring out an issue. That the man said, if I knew what was the right thing to do, I would not have done what I did. And what I did was what I was supposed to do. That was a line falling for me in pleasant places. One day, Jessica gave me a testimony. Say one day she was rushing to Abuja, and a bike man, then bikes were allowed in Enugu, took her past the bus station she was going to. And she got very angry with the man. Whether na angel or na human being, where God used like angel, we don't know. All she knows is that she missed the bus she wanted to enter. Entered another one. That one she missed. She saw it burn up with the passengers inside at Lokoja. Because he ran into a tanker. The tanker, the bus, everything caught fire. And that bus she missed because one bike man was not paying attention. Look, God cured me long ago of saying that, I wish that, you know. The one that's not my own has gone. My own is coming. When I was in Lagos those days, when I didn't have a car, they had the rush bus before Fashola came and did last mile and all of those things. One thing I didn't used to do was rush bus. I stayed at the state, bus park like this. Everybody go, 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 go. I said, no. I said, my bus will stop here. As the bus is going, people will just be, as the bus is coming, they are following it. The conductor has not said anything. No. Just Not this guy. No. Once you pass me, you are not my boss. Even if you shout, Pastor Banky's apartment, I will not answer you. I wouldn't answer you. What I would do, I just wait here. I say, if you want to carry me, you come here. I hardly used to take more than 2-3 steps to the left or to the right. I didn't care the number of people looking for buses. I stood there. I said, my own, you will stop here. Because my blessing is commanded. It has my name on it. He said, from there, God commanded the blessings. Blessings are commanded. I may not know the color of the bus, whether it's a Danfo or whether it's a Molue. But whichever one you are stopping in front of me. The lines will fall for you in pleasant places.
Amen.
Things you did not plan for will happen to you.
Amen.
And they will be good things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Let's just thank him. Let's thank him. Say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because your mercies endure forever. We thank you because the lines fall for us in pleasant places. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death.